News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
I'm joined by Fionnán Sheehan, the Ireland editor of the Irish Independent, to bring us up to speed with some of the stories that you may not yet have noticed. First amongst those, a story that is running in your own paper, Fionnán, in the Irish Independent, which is the government's response to Catherine Connolly's comments about the illegality of the American invasion of, or rather attack on Iran. Now, she didn't call out the Americans by name, but she said that the action was in breach of international law, and the government doesn't seem delighted.
No, she was doing President Connolly what's commonly known as a Michael D, where you say something but you leave out the minor detail for people to fill in because it's basically nod and wink. Well, we all know exactly what she's talking about here. So she was going further in the government. She was saying this is a breach of international law, needs to be called out, important for a country, a small country like Ireland, to speak up and speak plainly. Hint, hint, Taoiseach going to the White House in a week's time. Government's view, fairly firm, yeah. That's great. You're the head of state, but we're in charge of international affairs.
Now, I assume then under all of that, there is a general sense of, oh, dear Lord, I hope this doesn't become a bone of contention at the White House.
Yeah, does somebody in the MAGA movement notice that somebody who's called the President of Ireland, who they won't know what President of Ireland means anyway, is saying things like this and therefore asking me, oh, is there something you want to tell us? So, I mean, the point being here, it's already unpredictable enough what's going to happen in the White House, as Mary Regan is pointing out in the Irish Independent this morning. You know, there's a level of unpredictability here. This is just another element of it. It's not going to affect the trip. It most likely that particular aspect won't come up. But nonetheless, you know, when the Taoiseach is both in the Oval Office and afterwards, he will be quizzed and questioned about, well, what exactly did you say about the conflict, if you want to call it that, with Iran at the moment? And he has stopped short from kind of the outright condemnation of saying it is a breach of international law, beyond saying, you know, we're very supportive of the United Nations and having mandates and so on. So delicate little diplomatic balancing act there. And the president making her name known. Pat Leahy in the Irish Times pointing out the government didn't intend to do this with Michael D. So maybe they're setting down a marker here. We're not going to allow you to be repeatedly making comments that will be interpreted as criticism of the government.
As in they weren't as fast to respond and rebut when it was Michael D.
They probably let him go one too many times and then it was too late to rein it back in. So there may be a marker being set down this time, which is basically saying, you are in charge of certain aspects under the Constitution. We are in charge of certain aspects, and that includes international affairs. So that's our business.
How big a challenge is this White House meeting going to be? Because last year, following the dressing down of President Volodymyr Zelensky, we thought this was the most difficult White House meeting that an Irish Taoiseach ever had. It sort of looks like relatively easy walk in the park compared to what they may be facing this year.
Well, it's similar. I mean, because of what happened with Zelensky, because of the tensions at the time between Europe and the United States over the prospect of a resolution in Ukraine, it was tricky for the Taoiseach. He was, you know, he was the first European leader to be visiting. Subsequently, we had seen how other leaders had put on a charm offensive. Starmer arrives with an invite over to meet the king.
Oh, that's right,
and so
the letter,
on. Yeah,
I'd forgotten.
Yeah, particularly nauseating. It didn't do him much good because 12 months later, Trump is giving out over and saying he's no Winston Churchill. So that you know, your credit is quickly spent under Trump. So Taoiseach got in and out of that, but it was kind of wacky. It went on for 45 minutes. Again, Trump can bring up anything. You don't know what he's going to talk about. In that case, Trump talked a lot. Michal probably got away with it, largely speaking. This time, he's there on St. Patrick's Day, so there won't be any Conor McGregor visit on this occasion. So look, Taoiseach will be well prepped for whatever scenario and how to deal with it.
Let's move to other matters. Over the weekend, Ray Darcy gave his first interviews after his departure from RTE. And yesterday, he arrived back on the airwaves, albeit the podcast airwaves rather than the broadcast airwaves.
Yeah, if you're sitting in a coffee shop and there's a man with a beanie and glasses sitting beside you, be careful what you say, because it might well be Ray Darcy, because he's basically saying, he's talking about experience in coffee shops over the weekend, listening to people striking up conversation with people over songs that are being played, and he's saying, you know, might go to eavesdropping like Maeve Vinci used to do for her columns and for her books. So he's back with his podcast, kind of similar chatty style to what he did in his RT Radio 1 show. So he's moving on with this new venture, but there are very definitely shades of what people have been used to from Ray Darcy.
By God, he's setting a high bar though daily. I mean, it's one thing to come back and do at the end of the week I'll do a roundup, but day in, day out.
It's a big ask, given that, you know, he's gone from RTE where you had the vast resources and the production teams behind the show, to doing this with his wife Jenny Kelly. So it is a difficult prospect, but what he's saying that he's looked around, he believes that there is a market for this.
We were talking earlier on about the knock-on effect of the military action by the US and Israel in Iran, and of course there are those who would say that the whole motivating factor was for it to distract from the Epstein files. The Epstein files and the revelations therein continue, including more suspected revelations in respect of the prince formerly known as Andrew.
So there is an individual who's in a hood and you can't quite exactly see his face, but it looks like it's the artist formerly known as Prince Andrew. And he's got one young woman sitting on his lap, another photo then there's a woman, young woman with her arms around his shoulder. This is in Jeffrey Epstein's dining room in New York. It's part of 180,000 pictures that have been shared. So it's kind of this data dump that comes out, and journalists and other analysts have to pour through all of these with the use of AI and so on. So this photo will now, you know, it'll have a lot of facial recognition. People will be going into the pixel scene. Okay, can we identify his nose, or is this person sweating? And therefore, if he's sweating, it's not Prince Andrew. But, you know, it is again layering the connections between Andrew and Epstein, and raising further questions about, well, okay, and who were these people, and what exactly were you doing with them, and what ages were they? So it adds on. Notably, it's about Andrew, though. It's not about Trump. These are not Donald Trump sitting inside in the Oval Office. So shades of controversies past. There was, there was all sorts of links between his dad, the Duke of Edinburgh, and some scandals back in the 1960s. Well, was he allegedly involved in social networks and so on. So, you know, there was kind of scant evidence back then. It's very different to modern times when you have photos taken on every occasion. And as you say, look, this is all rather similar to Bill Clinton and his strikes on Yugoslavia back in the day when he was under pressure himself.
Now, finally, before you go, Fionnuala, we were speaking a little yesterday about Gerry Adams and his court case, where he is being civilly sued with those taking the action trying to assert that he was actually a member of the IRA when he denied that he was. Showed up in court yesterday in the UK, showed up wearing a bulletproof vest.
Yeah, he was wearing a bulletproof vest going into court, so it was unclear exactly what he thought he was going to be met with at the door. But anyway, he takes this off and he's wearing his three-piece suit as he sits inside and opens and listens to the opening exchanges, including some rather poor pronunciation of Irish names, Irish titles, and so on. So he'll be appearing. In effect, it's a kind of a court case that's making a point rather than something that is about a monetary value, which is to assert in a British court, where Gerry Adams has never been questioned in this regard about the connections between the Republican movement, which he headed up as president of Sinn Féin, and the IRA, and the assertions which have been made many times that he was a member of the IRA and a member of the Irish Council. Going back here 20 years ago, we had cabinet ministers who openly said Gerry Adams and Martin McGuinness and Martin Ferris were members of the IRA Army Council. So this is being played out in a court of law to see if a burden of proof can be attached to that.
Fionnuala, thank you so much. That is Fionnuala Sheehan, who is Ireland editor with the Irish Independent.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.